We are 1210 Dakota Country, KOKK in Huron.
With the Saturday morning scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports, KOKK. Not a lot on our scoreboard this morning in that in-between time of the year, getting set for spring sports. I do have the schedule today. As far as I know, Huron spring baseball is opening their season this weekend with a trip out west, games against Rapid City Central and Sturgis today, in Rapid City, Stevens, and Douglas tomorrow, and those games again out west here to open up the season. The 37th annual three-class shootout basketball all-star games are being held today in Salem. All three classes, girls and boys, are represented by many of the top seniors from across South Dakota. The girls' games are first, 1 o'clock, AA versus A. Then at 2:30, the Class B team plays the winner of the first game. At 4 o'clock, AA boys against Class A boys. Then that will be followed by a dunk contest. Then the Class B boys will play the winner of the first game to wrap up the day. Rosters include for Class B girls, Emma Marshall, Centerville, Kaylee Robinson, Alexa Gerst, Sanborn Central, Woonsocket, Lauren Zebart, Maya Thuringer, Parkston, Bella Williams, Kadoka, Kaylee Volker, Coleman Egan, Medela Hansen, Del Rapids St. Mary, Adriana Radigan, Northwestern, and Josie Brower, Andy Central Dakota Christian. Class A girls team, Crystal Nager of Sisseton, Brooke Jensen, Vermilion, Avery Wright, Sioux Falls Christian, Ava Hansen, Roncalli, Sloan Kessler, St. Thomas More, Isabella Anderson, Milbank, Ryan Hansen, Lennox, Jenna Vanderweerd of Canton, Lydia Yost of Wagner, and Cameron Somervold, Dakota Valley. And the AA girls team includes Talia Porter, Rapid City Stevens, Grace Peterson, Washington, Lennox Dupree, Pier, Josie Dana, Spearfish, Madison Giever, Brandon Valley, Logan Smith, Brookings, Lauren Van Overshield, Mitchell, Maya Kachutin, Spearfish, Julia Agert, O'Gorman. The boys' teams, Class B, includes Brian Lowy, Castlewood, Nick Hansen, Viberg Hurley, Luke Kepsel, Howard, Noah Kipley, Leola Frederick, Jameson Kessler, Castlewood, Wyatt James, Esteline Hendricks, Moshe Richmond, Woolsey Wessington, Cruz Clunt, Gregory, Blair Ham, Lemon, and Trevin Beckman, Del Rapids St. Mary. Class A boys, Benson Kiefer, Rapid City Christian, Julius Frog, Rapid City Christian, Logan Collette, Luke Bruns, Dakota Valley, Paul Parsley, Flandreau, Mason Sabres, McCook Central Montrose, Ben Brooks, Madison, Maverick Nelson, Sioux Valley, Kyle Virtue, Custer, and Caden Montana, Stanley County. And the AA boys team has Marcus Talley, Gavin Hinker of Mitchell, Tommy Hoffman, Sioux Falls, Washington, Ryan Heinert, Sturgis, Daler Segrist, Rapid City, Stevens, Caden Anderson, Harrisburg, Aiden Costain, Harrisburg, Dylan Doran, Spearfish, Austin Turveen, O'Gorman, and Marshall Smythe of T. In those games be played today in Salem. A few announcements to pass along. Huron Baseball is having sign up now for their youth leagues this summer. That includes coach pitch, 7 and 8-year-olds, minors and majors, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old. Ages as of January 1st of this year. Register online has begun at huronbaseball.net. The online registration is required. A reminder, there will be a parent meeting next Thursday beginning at 5:30 at the Campus Center. More information is available on the Huron Baseball Facebook page. Huron All-Star Hockey is having their annual awards banquet next Thursday at the Crossroads. Social 5:30, dinner at 6, business meeting at 6:30, awards to follow. Anyone planning to attend should RSVP by Tuesday to Lisa Overbay at redandblackhockey@gmail.com. It's official now. Eric Henderson is leading South Dakota State University men's basketball to take over the same job at Drake University. Henderson has been coach of the Jackrabbits the last 6 years and took the Jacks to two national NCAA tournaments in his time there. Minnesota Timberwolves picked up a home win last night. They defeated the Phoenix Suns 124-109. Minnesota Twins had the day off yesterday, as it was the planned day off in case they had to move St. Louis's season opener from Thursday to yesterday. Now they're back in business. Hopefully today, Joe Ryan scheduled to get the start in St. Louis, 12:30 pregame, 1:10 first pitch. We'll see if weather allows baseball to be played today in St. Louis. There's rain in the forecast today and tomorrow. Coming up this morning on Dakota Sports Saturday, we'll talk to Joey Mitchell with the Norby Center for Recreation as get an update on activities going on there. Also, he'll review his just completed Wessington Springs Spartan basketball season. His boys placed fourth in the Class B tournament last week. And we'll also wrap up basketball seasons for Huron Tiger girls and boys with head coaches Cody Kaufman and Tim Budenhagen. That's our Dakota Sports Saturday show coming up at 7 minutes after 8 o'clock this morning. With the Saturday Morning Scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, and overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
Good morning, and first up here on Dakota Sports Saturday, we're talking with Joey Mitchell. We get our monthly update from the Norby Center for Recreation as we're leading into the month of April. And Joey, I guess first things first, we're just going to update on what happened. You had a water main break there, here in the last month, and that has caused some issues, but you're slowly, hopefully, getting back to normal.
Yes, you kind of nailed it there, Jeff. I was March 3rd, Monday, actually, thankfully. But, the water main broke underneath one of the rooms in the building, pushed up through the concrete, and then was running up through the walls and then filling other areas, I guess, throughout the building through outlets in the walls. The water was running down the, I guess, cavities in the cement blocks. But then it also pushed a bunch of sand, like the filler sand or backing sand underneath the building, up into the building and into our pool. So we've been battling that headache of getting that all cleaned up for the last couple weeks here, but it is all clean now, and we are starting to put water back in the pool.
So repairs still ongoing, but I guess what you're at least trying to get yourself a little bit back towards a normal type of business right now.
Sort of, I guess. The main isn't actually fixed yet. That's supposed to be here in the next week or so. But we're on a temporary line that we're going to downsize our line to a 2-inch line realistically anyways. So it'll operate still just like it is now. So the fix still has to actually happen. But we were able to get all the sand cleaned out of the pool and everything. But on the right side of things, yes, we won't be able to actually know what's working and what's not working, if anything's clogged with sand, cleaning-wise, for all the mechanical side of the pool things until we get water back in it and turn it on.
Well, and looking back on that, how long did it take for you to get some things back up and running? I'd imagine cleanup, did this affect the whole building?
Really, Yeah, it pretty much did because it knocked. When it first happened, we didn't have water Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday that week. We got water late Thursday evening, Thursday night. So we had temporary water line off of a fire hydrant on that Friday. So the first day, it was the morning, and we closed that mid-morning because water was standing in a couple areas. And, I mean, it was 3-4 inches of water just standing. And with it coming out of outlets and, I mean, water is still coming in the building, we closed just for the safety of everyone. And then we obviously started cleaning up on Monday and then took it into Tuesday cleaning up more. And we opened back up on Wednesday with no water use. And then, like I said, Thursday was kind of the day we were able to get a temporary line going. So it was like 4 days that we didn't have water, more or less, and we're shut down cleaning things up.
And so now, looking ahead where you're at, I think you said you are starting to fill the pool. You hopefully are ready to go with swimming lessons at some point here, but still just kind of a wait and see because as everything starts to get repaired, you still don't know what you have and what you don't have or what's going on down there yet.
You're exactly right there, Jeff. That pretty much sums it up in a nutshell. Hopefully by the end of this week, we're able to have more of a time frame on things. But yeah, like swimming lessons is just kind of on hold until we make sure the pool's operating correctly.
So with that, looking at what is happening, I guess you do have a couple of things. I guess the big thing is the summer day camp, which is one of your more popular programs, especially once with school out. Sign-ups have begun for returnees, and it opens up to everybody here now coming up on Monday.
Yes, one of our biggest programs we offer, summer day camp. You know, we do host 50 kids here, or in anywhere from 45 to 50, right in that range. And it's 11 weeks, and it runs from May 27th, so the Tuesday after the holiday, and it runs all the way into August 8th. And it's 7:45 to 5:30 every day. The kids, yeah, we just do a bunch of different activities, I guess. The kids come here. The beauty of it is I know last year we didn't have our pool just because of some much-needed repairs of being 25 years old. But that's kind of something we hang our hat on. The kids are able to come here and go swimming every single day. We keep them active in gyms and outside. We go on field trips, you know, sports games, arts and crafts. So it really keeps the kid active, not just kind of sitting around watching a television or playing on an iPad.
And then another thing you said, too, sign-ups are underway or going to be underway for karate classes as well.
Yep. April 7th, so just a week away here. Karate will restart a new session, and it'll, as always, it's a 12-week session, but I know the instructors are gone for 1 week, so this one's advertised as a 13-week session, so it'll run into the summer just a little bit, and then after that, they'll take a little break until school gets going again, but it's, again, for all levels. There's beginner karate, youth beginner, there's adult beginner, and youth beginner starts at age 6 on up. And then adult beginner starts at actually age 14 and up. But there's also youth advanced and adult advanced. You know, and karate does get a pretty good turnout. Realistically, there's 60, 65 people of, you know, adults and kids that attend karate.
And then other than that, you know, just some of the other things going on. I know the JO spring volleyball season's getting into full gear, and I imagine looking ahead, once school gets out, there will be other youth programs, especially basketball and things like that.
Yes, you're exactly right. JO season kind of takes over for us right now a little bit. The volleyball practices are held here for the majority of all the teams, I guess, involved. And then we do host a couple tournaments. Next weekend, actually, April 5th and 6th, we host our first tournament here. And it's looking like it's about 30 teams again. And then again on April 26th and 27th, a little later in the month, we host our second tournament that we pretty much always host here at the Norby Center.
You're talking with Joey Mitchell with the Norby Center for Recreation. And for any information, there are several avenues, Facebook page, website, all that.
Yes, exactly. And, again, the biggest ones, don't ever be afraid to reach out. You know, if it's just a phone call, People even message us on Facebook, you know, if that's kind of how you want to go about it and break the ice, don't hesitate in any avenues.
As I said, talking with Joey Mitchell, we're going to switch from the Norby Center to Wessington Springs Spartan Basketball. Joey, also the head coach of Wessington Springs at the B Tournament last weekend, made the Final Four, wound up in fourth place. And, Coach, just the overview of the season for all the obstacles that your team had to finish the way you did. Obviously, you would have liked to have finished a little higher in the tournament, but, I don't know if you ever had any game at any point this season where you had a full roster that was at full strength. But, kids just made steps forward no matter who you had available to put on the floor.
Yeah, fourth place wasn't exactly how, I guess, we envisioned it ending when we went up there. But again, we went in as fourth. I guess we leave as fourth. It kind of says we were maybe in our right spot. The top three teams at our level, I would say, were pretty clear-cut. They were very good. And then I thought we kind of proved that we were in our own little area at the four spot with being able to kind of handle Wall in our 4-5 matchup, and they ended up getting fifth. Again, I thought it was a pretty good representation. You kind of nailed it on the head there with, we didn't have a full roster pretty much this whole year. I think it was 5 days late February, early March there. And it wasn't even 5 days, like 5 games. It was 5 days of, you know, practice or downtime, whatever it was. I think we had one game in there where we did have a full roster. Because of the different injuries, we were able to, or not able, but we did battle. But the kids were able to, you know, positively do that and respond to it. And a lot of different kids stepped up in different ways, especially when we needed them.
You know, and I guess, you know, while you don't want to lose a game, it probably was a little nice, I suppose, at the end of the day, the team that beat you in the semifinals, Castlewood, goes on to win the state title and kind of won it going away.
Yeah, no, I teased the kid this morning that, it was, we played Castlewood to the closest of anyone in the tournament. I'll hang my hat on that a little bit. And then, again, just talking about Castlewood, we lost them in the semifinals, but I played at Dakota Wesleyan on the national runner-up team. And, you know, they were bigger than my national runner-up team, you know, going across the board at 6'9", 6'5", 6'5", 6'3", and 6'. We weren't even that big at the college level. And then they all were, they weren't just height. They had athleticism, and they were all skilled and could shoot the three-pointer.
You know, and with your squad, you know, you do lose some seniors now. Always tough to lose them, and, you know, especially from a leadership standpoint.
Yeah, no, we have a big group of seniors. There's six of them. Back when I coached before I took a little break there, they were all ninth graders or freshmen back when I had my last year. So even eighth graders at our level get to play up and practice a lot. So, you know, they were around, and, like I kind of told them, too, they really helped build a foundation when they were back in that seventh, eighth grade age. You know, Weston Springs was 4-16 or 5-17, and now you completely flip it around and you're 22-4. You did a lot of groundwork, and like I said, you built a foundation for others to hopefully continue to build off of.
You know, and when you're looking ahead, you got two guys, two first-team all-conference players, Colby Flowers, Parker Greff, that should be back next year. I would just say should, because Parker was one of the guys that did struggle with injuries. But, you know, you have a solid foundation. Roles will change, but, hey, it's a good problem to have.
Oh, again, you're exactly right. I'm excited about what we bring back. Knowing that, because when you have 8, 9, 10 guys that can play, practice is competitive, and that's a good thing, and that's how you get yourselves back to the tournament, is being able to correlate or simulate things in practice and then correlate it over into a game. Parker is coming back, and Colby, obviously both two first-team all-conference guys. Parker was an all-state guy last year, and, Colby might be contending with that this year. Realistically, we got both of those. Two huge pieces coming back, and then guys that played for us this year, Luke Larson, he had a hand injury, so he missed, 8-9 weeks in the season this year. But he'll be back, he's a junior. Wesley Molnar started the kind of one of the little guards for us, and he's only a sophomore, so he's coming back. And then Grady Grand, you know, he saw some minutes late in the tournament for us this last weekend. But he's a big body. He's actually able to shoot the ball a little too, so he kind of gets a little inside-out option. So we got some pieces coming back. Hayden Boucher is another little guard that I'm excited to see what he can do for us over the summer with developing some more. So, again, the success in building the foundation, hopefully it feeds into other guys continuing wanting to get better.
Well, let's wrap it up with this, Joey. Again, talking with Joey Mitchell, Norby Center for Recreation, also head boys basketball coach at Westington Springs. Your basketball season's finally over. I know you ref football in the fall as well. Nice to maybe you can just concentrate on the one job here now.
Oh, no, you're exactly right. one job, but I do have a little baby at home that's just about one now, too. So I have some little time I got to make up there also, but. Yeah, it'll be nice to kind of just slow down and switch gears a little bit, get the handle back on everything. So,
Joey Mitchell, Executive Director of the Norby Center for Recreation. Our monthly update with him about activities going on, and we're able to tack on a little Westington Springs basketball into the equation as well. Again, for the Norby Center for Recreation, for all the information, you always stop by, look at their Facebook page, or go to norbycenter.org. More basketball to talk about. We'll recap the Huron Tiger girls and boys basketball seasons coming up here on Dakota Sports.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, and overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Norby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Norby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Norby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
Next up on Dakota Today, we do a review of the end of the Huron Tiger girls basketball season. Tiger girls finished out the season at 7-14, and talking with Cody Kaufman, just finished out his third year as head coach of the Tigers. And coach, kind of an ebb and flow season, it seemed like. Had a strong start, had some struggles there in the month of February. Didn't play at home but once in the month of January. There were obstacles. Girls, I felt, for the most part, kind of gave you everything you had. I know you liked the synergy the team had. Just would have been nice to have a few more wins, but thought these girls really gave you everything they had this year.
Yeah, you know, I mean, as a coach, right, you're always judged on winning and losing, your win-loss record, those type of things. But, you know, when you look back on it, you know, and I've had a couple of weeks now to digest the season and think on things and, you know, what ifs and, you know, woulda, shoulda, coulda things. And you look at it and you think that, man, you know, it was a very successful season in a lot of ways. You know, we've talked about this before, but the camaraderie of the team, the girls all getting along, you know, all playing together, just, you know, as a coach, I didn't have to deal with that. I didn't have to worry about, you know, them working as a team, you know, them working together, them working hard. That was all done on their own, each other holding themselves accountable. So I could just focus on the X's and O's stuff of it, making sure they're prepared to play the game. So like I said, you know, the win losses probably weren't the way where we wanted them to be, but we're also a very young team that didn't return a lot of, you know, that didn't return a lot of experience. And when you boil it all down, you know, with the way we started, you know, 3-2 in December, January is extremely tough, like you alluded to, with, I think five road games in a row, but you know, six of the seven in January were all on the road. So that got very tough, very long. I really liked the way that we competed, though, at the end of January with, you know, what we have a win at Lincoln. We had a win at Watertown, which maybe looking back on it was our biggest win of the year. Watertown's always a tough place to play, and to see how they finished their season was a very good win for us. And then, you know, February was tough for us. You know, we had a couple games that I feel like we should have got that we didn't play our best. And then, you know, you look at, you know, the end of the season with Brandon Valley and O'Gorman, and clearly those two were the best two teams in the state all year. So you know, you're always reminded with what is, you know, most present, you know, what happened last. And those O'Gorman-Brandon games are obviously very clear, you know, very fresh in our minds, along with the Rapid City Sword X 16 game. So when you get past those, and you get past those 2 weeks, you start looking at things like I was able to dissect, like I said, and realize that, you know, there's a lot of successful things that happened with this team, and a lot of growth and a lot of things to build on for next year.
You know, and as always, we highlight the senior class this during years for the season end. And just two seniors on the roster this year, Maddie Juergens and Allison James. We'll just talk about each of them individually first, then collectively. But Maddie Juergens coming off an ACL, but she fought to make sure she got back on the volleyball court, and she was ready to go for basketball as well.
Yeah, and, you know, you look at that, I think, you remember this stuff better than I do, but I think, you know, she tore her ACL in January, I mean, and she's cleared to play volleyball in August, so you're looking at seven-ish months it took her to recover from an ACL, and I thought, you know, with playing volleyball, when she showed up on the basketball court in November, I didn't see any residual of, you know, favoring it or limping or, you know, laboring at all. And if you know Maddie and you put a challenge in front of her, and unfortunately nobody wanted to put that challenge in front of her, but that's what she was dealt, she's going to do everything she can to accept that challenge and to defeat that challenge. And that's exactly what she did, right? I mean, you don't ever judge anybody by their size, you know, or their physical size. You judge people by the size of their heart and their work ethic and their determination. And I don't know that anybody has more of that than what Maddie Juergens has, you know. So, and that just showed with battling through that ACL. But again, you know, you talk about, you know, she played a little bit early on in 2024 before she tore her ACL, but she had never played any varsity minutes before that. Just, you know, was a stepping stone up the ladder, you know, as far as the levels go in the program, and you never heard a word from her. She just showed up every day and worked hard and was a very good leader for us this year. You know, she held people accountable, made sure that people were on time to strength and conditioning stuff in the morning, made sure that, you know, in the morning practices she was sending out texts, making sure people were there. So a very good leader for us, and it just goes to show that you don't have to have huge numbers on a basketball court to be a good leader. And that's exactly what Maddie was for us.
And the other senior, Allison James, also off an ACL injury from 2 years ago. And you could tell the difference between her junior year. She tore her ACL as a sophomore. Her junior year, she did play, basically start her minutes off the bench. But still, you could tell that was bothering her. I think she was wearing the brace, too. But come her senior year, she just looked like a different player just because she was that far away and that far further from a rehab, and just looked like she was back to her normal self her senior year.
Yeah, you know, and I think everybody handles, you know, the same injury differently, you know, and it was different than, you know, the way, you know, how it everything healed and repaired and, you know, everything else than Maddie's was. But you're exactly right, you know, once she got that confidence, which I can only imagine, you know, the mental grind of stepping back on the court after you've done something like that and having to go through all that rehab and all that pain and, you know, just the physical part of it. And then that mental block of, is it going to happen to me again? And you could see that once Allison broke through that mental block, she was a whole different player, just like you said. And again, you talk about, I mean, you talk about the same attributes, the same strengths, everything that Maddie had. Allison had all those same things. She, you know, like you said, she did play quite a bit as a junior. Never started, though. Never started a game until her senior year. She, again, never complained. You know, stepped up the ladder, freshman, sophomore, JV, varsity. Worked hard every single day. Also held everybody accountable. Made sure that everybody was there. Helped people out. Teach kids plays. Just a great teammate and a good leader that, again, didn't ever fill up the stat sheet, and she didn't have to because she knew her role, and you know, just and tried to make everybody better, and made it fun to be there every single day on the basketball court, you know. And then when you do talk about numbers, you look at her numbers obviously compared to last year, and her scoring, her rebounding. You know, she's asked to do a lot more this year, and she is fully capable of doing that because she put in a ton of time. She didn't play volleyball. You know, but when volleyball season on, she was at the Nordby Center a ton, working on her game, shooting, and you saw that, you know, as the season went on, especially early on. You know, I think she was kind of our catalyst on some of those big wins that we had early on. You know, she was playing with some confidence to be able to, or understanding that she does belong there, and she proved that to herself. So another great kid, you know, another kid that we're going to miss in our program. Just because their program needs kids like that, not because they're good athletes or not because they're, you know, prolific scorers or anything like that, but just good kids that their teammates respect, their teammates have fun with, and their coaches definitely do that as well. So, you know, it's a blessing that we only have two seniors, but it also, you know, stings a little bit because we're losing such, you know, two great kids.
You know, and they just paralleled each other so much. We mentioned both had ACLs. Allison was her sophomore year in a JV game at Sioux Falls Jefferson. Then nearly a year to the date, I think it was a week earlier, the following January, that's when Maddie tore hers at the arena. So, you know, those girls, it just seemed like they almost paralleled each other through their Huron Tiger career.
Yeah, you know, and they grew up together and played everything together. You know, are very good friends on and off the court. You know, so they battle through it all together. You know, and ultimately, when you're the last two standing of, you know, who knows how many you were playing when they're third, fourth graders, probably 10, 12, and you're the last two playing, you know, that says a little bit of something about, you know, again, the type of kids that they are. And I'm telling you that, you know, they're going to move on and do bigger and better things. Very blessed as a coach to be able to coach them, and they know that, and I've told them that. I've told their parents that. They're just great kids, you know, great kids to have around, you know, and I know they're great in the classroom as well, and they're just going to be missed by our program.
And, of course, always tough to say goodbye to the seniors, but as you look forward, you're excited for the future, I'm sure. Just found out yesterday, Hilton Hines, Jr., was named honorable mention All-State in AA, so that's a good nucleus to come back with. You got a lot of girls back with experience. In fact, kind of thinking about it, you just finished your third year as head coach. This is probably the most experience you've had coming back since, well, that first team you had back when you became coach.
Yeah, you know, so like you said, we do have a ton of experience coming back. You know, I would say that my first year we had some pretty good experience coming back. I think three starters, but the inexperience with the coach, right? So this year, being fourth year, you know, going to start my fourth year as the head coach, returning, you know, four starters, you know, off of last year's team, and other girls off the bench that played basically starter minutes. So, you know, we lose two seniors, but we return seven of our top nine, you know, five of them being seniors, you know, two sophomores last year that are now juniors that, you know, are acclimated to the AA level and the varsity level. So ton of experience. It's probably the first off season summer that I don't have to go back in and try and revamp everything because of our personnel is going to stay pretty much the same, that we can keep building on some of the stuff that we've already done. Right. So that's nice. We just got to keep focusing on on the fundamentals. We got to get better at taking care of the basketball, less turnovers, And then we got to, you know, the simple part, and it sounds simple, but we just got to make shots. So ton of shots up this summer, working on that, working on our ball handling, and, you know, hopefully, you know, win prove enough to reach that goal of the state tournament, which is everybody's goal. You know, so, and then you mentioned, and a very well-deserving award for Hilton. You know, she was already all-conference. Now honorable mention all-state. And it's like you said, you know, she had the bullseye on her back all year long. You know, I think she finished 16.4 points a game, you know, right at 6 rebounds a game, you know, assists, you know, steals, deflections, all that type of stuff were very impressive when you compared the other to the all the other all-staters as well. So very much our catalyst. You know, we're going to go as she goes. You know, and then that's what we got to work on this summer, is developing everybody around her so that, you know, there's a trust in her teammates, but also so that we can make it easier on her, hopefully open up their lanes a little bit to, you know, take advantage of her strengths of getting to the rim. And that's by making shots from the outside, doing some stuff like that, you know, maybe trying to get the ball out of her hands a little bit more. So, again, developing people, you know, like we started you this year of other people handling the ball type of thing. So, very excited, you know, about that core that we're bringing back. When you bring back, you know, you're going to bring back two starters that have started 2 years, one of them being an all-stater, you know. So, yeah, there's a ton of potential. The expectation should be high, you know, as it is for me, and it should be for the Huron Tiger fans as well. And we just know that we got to get in the gym this summer and grind it out and try and get, you know, improve a little bit each day, and then see what happens come season.
Cody Kaufman, head coach here on Tiger Girls Basketball. They finished their season with a record of 7-15. Graduate two seniors in Maddie Juergens and Allison Janes. We'll take a timeout. Coming back, we'll review the Huron Tiger boys basketball season next on Dakota Sports KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
Your headquarters for sports is Dakota Sports on KOKK.
We wrap up Dakota Sports Saturday talking with Tim Budenhagen, head coach here on Tiger Boys Basketball. The Tigers closed out their season last weekend with a sixth-place finish at the state AA tournament. And, coach, let's do a quick review of the tournament first off. Obviously, ran into a little buzzsaw there with Mitchell in the second half. Colt McNeil goes down with an injury, didn't help. Felt, though, that the boys did start playing better as the tournament went on. Just that slow start on Saturday probably cost us there in the game against Sioux Falls Jefferson.
Yeah, I thought, you know, the Mitchell game, we had a chance. We held them to 19 in the first half. We scored 13. And then the game kind of got away from us in about probably the end of the third quarter. I think we held Tally to 2 points, so about the end of the third quarter. And then he kind of just took over the game. Otherwise, I thought we played well. I just didn't think we showed a lot of toughness guarding Tally at the end, because we let him get to the middle of the lane with his right hand. And I think he's more dangerous with his right hand with the floater. I thought we came back on Friday and played a really good game against Spearfish. I thought defensively we were more inspired. I thought offensively, obviously, we hit more shots. And then, you know, when you hit some shots all of a sudden you get a little bit more pep in your step in the defense. And against Jefferson, I thought we started out well. The first quarter went well, and then we just had too many lulls in the second and third, and they hit threes. They didn't hit a lot of threes the entire state tournament, but I think they hit six against us, and you know, that was a turning point. I thought we did a really nice job the fourth quarter of instituting a man-to-man run and jump when we haven't done it all year. I thought we covered some ground. We hit timely shots. I thought we showed some grit coming back and you know, cutting the lead to a one. We just ran out of timeouts.
And with that, you know, a 16-8 record, we got a couple more wins than last year. But again, we want to take more steps forward again next year. Got the guys coming back to do it.
Yeah, we do. I thought we played in some big games. We beat Mitchell at Mitchell. We beat O'Gorman at O'Gorman. We were fortunate enough to beat Harrisburg at home. Those games really stick out. I think we're going to be playing in a lot of big games next year. You know, we get to play at the Pentagon next year in that throwback game against Mitchell. We get to play in Hoop City next year. I think it's December 30th, so there's a lot of exciting things that are going to happen for our program. But you're right, we need to take the next step, and we need to be able to say it. We want to be state champs. I think the expectation is we need to be state champions.
And with that, we always do this final wrap-up interview, and we highlight the senior class. You had five seniors on the roster this year. You know, there was a lot more kids, I'm sure, when those kids were coming through the ranks in youth basketball. These five came all the way through the program and played all 4 years of high school. We'll just start going numerically on the roster. Number 10, Trace Wenz, had some spots, especially last year, but this was his year to start. I think he started every game, and you know, and I think as much as you know, we always knew he could shoot, but his improvements, I felt, came defensively. He looked night and day different from last year.
I thought both defensively and rebounding. I thought, you know, when he goes up over guys and pulls down rebounds, I thought that was big for us too, because, you know, you have a guard that can get up there and get you some big rebounds. That was advantageous for us. And you're right, I thought his defense, knack for anticipating, getting hands on balls, all that was a big key for our run this year. And I thought, you know, there was a big hoop against Mitchell where he offensively got the rebound and a putback that set up our victory at the Corn Palace. I thought Trace did a really nice job. He's just not a shooter. He could get to the lane as well. Really athletic, just some things that you can't teach, but the biggest thing was his defense, and I thought his rebounding this year.
Colt McNeil next, a two-year starter, did suffer injuries this year, missed a couple of games in January, then missed basically two and a half games to end the season at the state tournament after getting hurt in the first half of the opener against Mitchell. And, you know, we kind of felt that a little bit, especially in the second half against Mitchell. I think you've said more than once, Colton's always been kind of our engine.
Yeah, you know, when you lose Colton, because – if there's one guy that could guard Marcus Talley in the state, it was Colton, because he understood what Talley was trying to do, the in and out, the right hand in and out move, get you to lean and then go right. He just sat on his right hand, and if you see it sit on his right hand, you can be successful. And you saw that down in Mitchell when we had Colton for the full game. We were able to keep Talley under 10 points. And I thought we were on that run until he got hurt. Same thing against Lincoln. You know, we're down two. Colton, you know, twists his ankle, freak accident in the third quarter against Lincoln, and, you know, things are starting to go our way, and then we lose him. You can't replace a guy like Colton. He just got that toughness on defense, and then he works his tail off on offense. He gets down to court quickly, and we can hit him for some run out some easy baskets. I thought he did a fantastic job against Rapid City Central doing that. He got some easy baskets to go, easy run outs, and then all of a sudden he hits two or three threes, and now he's got 17 or 18 points. He was just that guy that had enough offensive ability in order to scare people. And then on the defense end, he could take care of any, you know, their best player at the guard position.
Now, next on the list, Logan Leyendecker, number 14, did not get a lot of time this year, but, you know, he wanted to be a part of the team. He wanted to be with the guys. You know, obviously a very good practice player because you play as good as you practice, basically. But yet, you know, he was probably the feel-good moment of the tournament, certainly maybe of the year. He hit that three late in the third quarter against Jefferson, and I felt that just turned it around. That's where we sparked our comeback after we were down by 19.
Well, we always say good things happen to good people, and I think that was one of those moments where good things happen to a good person. I was really proud of Logan. I was happy for him, you know, when he got that three to go against Jefferson in the state tournament. Logan works hard. He came to practice every day. He worked his tail off, and there was never a mention about playing time. And that says a lot about Logan, his character. And, he wants to be part of the team. And, you know, everybody wants to be part of something that's successful. And, you know, Logan was a big part of our success because of the person that he was, because of his servant leadership to the younger guys and showing up to practice and working his tail off every day. But that three against Jefferson was huge because that started our big run, and it was nothing but net. And we kid Logan that it must have slipped out of his hands. But he proved in practice that he was a good shooter, so I wasn't surprised that shot went in.
Next on the list, Colby Hofer. He's going to play college football, and sometimes I kind of felt like he still thought he was in football season, but, you know, he could shoot a little. He hit a huge three against Mitchell, but really he was a situational defensive player. That was kind of his role, basically, down the stretch.
Yeah, you know, the Hofer wanted somebody to be physical with guys. Hofer could be that guy. And that's always something that you need. You know, guards don't like to be touched very much. And if you got a guy that can get into somebody and really aggravate them and get them off their game, that's a blessing in disguise. And Hofer was that person that could do that. And, again, you know, feel-good moment. You know, good things happen to good people. That huge three that he hit against Mitchell put us up 10. I think it was third or fourth quarter late in the game where, you know, we finally felt good that we're going to beat Mitchell at Mitchell. That was a huge shot, and I was, again, really happy for Hofer because he comes to practice every day. He works his tail off. He doesn't feel sorry for himself. And, again, he feels good when the younger players start to play well and started to do well. He was the first person off the bench, you know, slapping five. The first person that got to Logan after he hit his three against Jefferson, Colby Hofer. You can't teach those things, character things to guys. They either have them or they don't, and he's got it, and he's going to do special things at Northwestern.
And the final senior, Jonathan Bubba Peterson, a little bit like Trey Swens, where he waited his turn. His turn came as a senior. I believe, again, he started every game, and he was kind of your high-energy guy, sometimes a little bit too energetic, but bottom line is, defensively, he can make plays. Sometimes he really showed that athleticism, the and-one he had in the state tournament. I can't remember now which game that was. You know, he just showed he could do so many different things.
Yeah, Bubba's come a long way. I mean, he's really matured as a young man. He's your toughness. You know, we kind of put him on some of their best scorers just because Bubba could get into you again. He was physical. He talked to you. He tried to get you off your game. And then, you know, offensively, he was a blessing. He hit two or three threes against Brandon Valley to begin to come out of the gate. He had a couple threes in the state tournament. He had an offensive rebound and a putback and an one in the state tournament. You can't teach what Bubba has. Bubba has some toughness. He has a lot of grit and, leadership. I mean, Bubba would be the first dude to come over to you, put your arm around you and say, hey, it's going to be all right. Or if somebody gets chewed out, he understands. He goes over to him and says, hey, this is what he wants. Bubba's a really cerebral player, too. It doesn't look like it on the floor, but he really is, and it means a lot to him. And No, Bubba meant a lot to this team.
So that's your set of five in the senior class on this team. Obviously, will be missed. And, you know, this punch just seemed tight. Again, I'll go back to it after the Jefferson game was over. We have the little tradition to have the seniors come out and talk a little bit on the post-game show. Logan Leyendecker went first. And when first thing I told Logan is you're the player of the game for the three-point shot. The other four seniors standing there all applauded. You know, that just shows how tight this bunch is.
Yeah, you know, it's tough, you know, to be an older guy and you have a lot of younger guys that need to get some playing time. And those guys kind of stepped aside and allowed our younger guys to grow and thrive. But those guys were right there, you know, backing those guys, putting their arm around them, congratulating them. They were happy to see other people succeed. And that's a really tough thing to teach in life. When other people succeed, you got to be happy for their success, and that, you know, that's a tough thing to teach. But those guys had it, and they, you know, like I said, servant leadership did a really nice job of mentoring our younger guys, and that's just going to help us in the future.
And I'll just wrap it up with this and talk about that future now. Five seniors, you know, they all had their roles on this team moving forward. We still have a lot of experience back, including all the bigs back. You know, there's going to be high expectations next year, but high expectations, you don't get to those expectations without hard work in between.
Right, yeah. We got a big summer in front of us. Obviously, we need to get better in some aspects. Defensively, we're losing a lot, so we're going to have to, you know, do a better job of coaching defense this year. Offensively, I think we're going to be as gifted as any team in the state with the three bigs. And then you got, you know, guys from the sophomore and the JV team that can shoot it. So I think we can spread it and shoot it. I don't think teams will be able to double and triple team this year because we'll be offensively gifted. So there are big things happening, but there's a lot of work that goes into it. We got to do a lot of shooting, a lot of ball handling, a lot of things defensively, and the biggest thing is we got to work on communication.
Tim Budnagan, head coach here on Tiger Boys Basketball. Tigers closed out the season with a record of 16-8. Second straight trip to the state AA tournament and a sixth-place finish last week. Up next, it's Territorial Rodeo Update brought to you by Premier Equipment of Huron. Thanks for listening to Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.